You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And folks, the Cleveland Browns draft picks are in. Order your jersey straight from the team. Visit the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. The rookie mini camp for the Cleveland Browns opens up. In addition to a bunch of undrafted free agents, the six draft picks of the Cleveland Browns are out there today. Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel, Joel Bitonio, Christian Xavier Kirksey.
Yes, and thank you. I just want to thank our listeners are sharp, man. They are on the ball, and at least three tweets came in and said, you know, VIC, what's up with this? You're calling this guy Xavier. In fact, one guy said, maybe is there a different guy that I'm referring to? And I think Brian was being nice about that. No, he is Christian Kirksey. I've taken that old school approach that, you know, until you earn the right to have your name called the right way. No, I don't do that as a rookie. No, he's Christian Kirksey. That's his name. He's proud of it. And we should call him by the right name. I should call him by the right name. And I've multiply said Xavier for some. He looks like a Xavier to me. I don't know.
There you go. You've got it on your mind. Listen, as long as he can be the X factor for that defense at inside linebacker, you can call him Xavier.
There is a Xavier in the draft. Xavier Cianfulo. So right. I did. The guard. I think I had that stuck and he played a different position. It's a whole different human being. But I did have that stuck in my brain.
It is all good. We know who he is. It's how I'm out there today running around. Very good looking athletes. Yeah. Look very fluid out there today. Christian Kirksey making his debut with the Browns, as all the other rookies are, as the rookie minicamp got underway early this morning. We're going to go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. We've got Dave in Canton. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, I've been in and out because I haven't been able to listen all of the last half hour, but I've got a little bit different take on this Dow Loggins thing. Nathan, you've been adamant that the organization was behind the pick, and I tend to agree with you. But to me, the point is, why is this guy having this conversation on the radio in the first place? I mean, he must be smart enough to know that he's going to open up a can of worms, kind of throw his owner under the bus. And I start getting concerned that, you know, if this is the guy who I don't think had a very illustrious career developing Tennessee Titan quarterbacks, I mean, if we're entrusting our quarterback development into a guy that's mouthing off to, a radio station, I start getting a little concerned about this guy. So I guess from that standpoint, I'd like your take on Doyle Lonergan.
Dow Loggins. And I think it didn't play out. I don't think he was expecting this, obviously, this kind of news storm, because, as I said, Johnny Manziel had talked about it on this show. I had heard other people talk about it. In fact, at the Cleveland Browns Foundation golf tournament on Monday, it was the story of the text was shared by some of the high-ranking Browns officials there as kind of like as one of the stories of the evening. So it was not something that was – the text was never meant to be kept secret.
Right.
I think that, you know, it was something that got people in this building at the highest levels very excited and fired up, and they considered it to be one of the great stories of the draft and one of the great stories of their first night, which I thought was a tremendous success. And they're fired up about it. Now, I'm not surprised that he shared it. I think it's unfortunate the connotation that has been taken from his comments and the kind of firestorm that it started. And obviously, you know, you got to be, I guess, a little smart in that. But really, the message was they were fired up that Johnny Manziel was so fired up to get here and be here and be a Cleveland Brown that he texted them, you know, come get me, let's wreck this league together.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he just went off loose cannon style on this interview.
It's been in public. It's been made public. Right.
First of all, the topic was out there. Number two, the interview itself, the public relations staff, the request for interviews. Now, he could have worked with somebody he knew or whatever, but generally there's a protocol for how this is done. I don't know all the circumstances behind him appearing on this Arkansas radio station. And you're not the first caller or first person via social media to have some backlash and say, hey, quarterback coach shouldn't talk, shouldn't be saying anything or whatever. My sense of how Mike Pettine's running things, coaches are different about this. We all know famously or infamously that Bill Belichick is assistants don't talk at all, clamp it down. And there is a theory of one voice for the organization. Bill Parcells was a big proponent of this. And a lot of those assistants really didn't love that arrangement, but they were happy to have their jobs and kind of worked within it. And then the league had to step in eventually and make rules where coordinators are available to the media, selective assistant coaches are available, but on a request basis, on an appointment basis with PR. So that, I understand, is still in effect. Not really sure how this all came about. Again, with Loggins, I don't think this is an example of a guy who should never be on or who really stepped in it or did something wrong. I think people took what they wanted to take from it. But as you said, the essence of what he talked about, that anecdote, was not new. It certainly wasn't new to listeners of this radio show, because we did address it and talk about it. And the front office people have been comfortable enough with
talking
sharing
it
in public because they're proud of it. They like
they
the fact
it.
That this guy wanted
it's
to
a great
be a Brown.
Story. Yes. So there it is. All right, we're going to stay on the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Mark in Indiana, welcome to CBD.
Are you still there?
What's up, Mark?
Yeah. I just wanted to say that the thing that excites me most, and like I told you before, I've been a Browns fan for over 50 years, and I'm really happy with the direction the organization is taking the team. And I think watching interviews with the players, that the defense – I see a lot of confidence. It seems like they have a lot of confidence in themselves as a unit. And I really think the opening day that we're going to go into Pittsburgh and show a lot of swagger and set the tone for the whole season. I'm very excited, as much as I've been in a long since the Bernie Kosar days, about this upcoming season. And I really think we're going to have a tremendous defense. I just want to say I'm really excited about this upcoming season, more than I have been in a long time.
Yeah. So. Good, Mark. Thank you for the call. I think you should be. In terms of what's there, we'll see if it's merited, warranted, once the team actually plays games. But I'm with you on the notion that you're talking about a defensive-first mentality, a foundational approach that is sound when you start with that, and then building everything from there, especially the running game. Let's go to Akron. It is – I'm pronouncing this Demetrius or
Demetrius.
Demetrius. Hello, Demetrius. You with us, Demetrius?
Demetrius. A lot of things I want to say. I'll just get 2 points real quick.
Sure.
You know, with the draft, I'm going to give, the front office an A- on it.
Okay.
It's back and forth with not knowing whether they knew about Gordon or not. And so that influenced my grade a bit. But, they came through at the end. They got these two receivers, Miles is a stud when he's healthy. I mean, if you see him in Dallas when he was playing opposite of Owens, he was real productive. I think he's going to pan out okay. But what I'm concerned about is the backbone of this front office. If it took a text message from Johnny for them to pull the trigger and move up, that means to me that they were influenced from a college athlete. They weren't convinced in their conviction with where they wanted to go, whether he was on their board at a few picks later or they moved up because of him. It sounds like he made them pull the trigger to move up, which bothers me. They should be influenced by a college athlete. Now, on another point, I say we start Johnny to start the season. Now, let's not forget that last season, a handful of scores, one score one way or another in many of our games, and this team was 10-6 last year. That's how close a lot of them games were. So if Hoyer goes out and he goes 10-6 this year, the team is, I don't want to say it's parallel, but they're only – they're only vested to go forward. They were already really on the cusp of having a productive year last year. So if he goes 10-6, they have a decision to make. You put Johnny in there, they're already right there. They may go 10-6 with Johnny, and then they come out smelling like roses.
Yeah, I'll just say, though, again, and I can't reiterate this enough. The point of the text story was not that the text then compelled them to get him. They wanted him. He was the top-rated player on the board, period, at that point. Also the number one quarterback on the Browns board. The text got them fired up. It was like, yes, this guy wants who we want to draft, who's the highest-rated quarterback on our board,
right,
wants to be. It was just kind of like, Everybody was fired up. This is what we were trying to do all along, trade up. With they were in talks with Dallas to move up to get Johnny Manziel. They played it. They read the tea leaves right, knew they had to get ahead of Kansas City, and it was just a matter of – it was just kind of a euphoric thing, like, yes, it's coming together. He wants to be here. We want him to be here. Let's make this happen. Let's get it done now. And that was what happened. It was not influenced by Johnny Manziel. It was just kind of a point of pride that they loved that he wanted to be here, and that's who they wanted. It was just kind of a euphoric feeling for those people.
Yeah, just to put some logic and sense to this, this is something the Browns want out there. So is the point that you would think you'd want to make as an organization, you know, we really weren't thinking about this guy, but thank God he texted us and said, hey, come get me, because that would be the reason you'd want to tout that, because they couldn't make their minds up, so he influenced it. You don't tout that. They're touting it. This isn't like accidental information out there. You're kind of skewing those who look at this and say this is about, and I'm not sure if it's more than just our friend Demetrius from Akron here, but I think it's, yeah, that's just consider the logic of what you're saying, that the team is boasting about the fact that the player influenced their thinking to come get him versus the team
just
deciding independently that it wanted the guy.
Right. I mean, come on.
It doesn't. I mean, all that time that is spent and effort. And again, I sadly see that people get so crazed about the draft process from a media standpoint, and that they actually think that teams operate the same way everyone else does, which is read your mock drafts and go with Mel Kiper and this and that, and then decide, you know, this is the guy you got to get. I mean, there's hours and millions of dollars spent in time and effort to try to come up with analysis and conclusions on what you want to do. And he was part of all that. And ultimately, when they got to the point of ranking and wanting quarterbacks, that's where he was. He was in there, but not at the fourth overall pick of the draft. And thankfully, I think they went down. I think that's a great thing to get a guy like Manziel there. Humbling experience that he encounters by waiting. Just for the record, a lot of teams, including the Browns, did not see him as a top five guy, did not see him as a top 10 guy, did not see him as a top 15 guy. This guy was picked at 22nd, and he was picked at 22nd because there was a true thought and an accurate thought on the part of the Browns that he would have been picked 23rd had they not gone in front of the Kansas City Chiefs, who were there at 23. 22, it's a humbling place. It's in the first round, but it's a humbling place. For all the Johnny Mania that there is, he was not seen as the guy you want to take in the upper reaches of the draft, for the record. Only one quarterback there, and that guy's name was Blake Bortles, and he's the one who looked more conventionally like the big, strong pocket quarterback that, of course, those who want to say, well, that's the model that doesn't work anymore. All right, say it, but that is where he went, and that's what Jacksonville did with him.
But he wasn't the Browns' number one quarterback.
But I didn't say that. I'm just saying that there's the difference between – but the Browns also didn't – their affinity for Johnny – didn't make it a fourth pick to make sure we get him there. They felt comfortable that they could move up, you know, move up from where they were while moving down to get the priority guy they wanted, the cornerback, and did it. And that's how this draft unfolded. Those are the realities. We're making a lot of fuss over the owner, got to get this guy, got to do this guy. Okay, but they got this guy at 22nd. They got this guy in a lower place than those who were really hyped up about him thought he might go.
Don't
he went
you think
22nd.
That if Jimmy Haslam was going to demand that the Browns take
Johnny
Manziel?
He would have done it at 4, yes.
Right? Or at the very least at 8.
Yes. If this were that kind of influence, but no, he's going to get fired up about it to do it at 22, more so than at 4.
Got to do it.
So he didn't have any say. By the way, for those who say this is the Jimmy Haslam draft and he had all the say in it, what, he didn't care about Justin Gilbert? He didn't care about the corner that they picked 8th overall that they traded down and then up to get? So Haslam in those photos, those revealing photos or photo that he's sitting right there, had no say in that. He sat back and said, yeah, it's corner. I don't care about the corner. I just want to know about Johnny Manziel. Silly. Ridiculous. Use common sense. Think,
right.
People. Think.
Well, you can't do that in the modern news cycle. These people have to have news. They need to go on reports and say
so
that the Browns
–
that Jimmy Haslam demanded that the Browns had to have Manziel. He must be here. But then Jimmy Haslam goes and says, Johnny Manziel, you're a backup. I mean, really? Really? That's how it works, and the Browns don't know what they're doing. You know, enough. All right. Let's – play the games. This is like we waited so long for the draft, and now we got to wait a long time to play the games. Let's go play the games and see what happens. Enough of this, the media crying. I'm sorry that you're not here. The Browns want their players to focus on learning their playbooks and becoming professional players in the NFL. Johnny's had plenty of time with the media. There was tons of time to talk to Johnny Manziel. He's here. He's here to work. That's what the focus for the Browns is. I'm sorry that people don't like it, and it makes them angry, and they have to call names.
I just saw this tweet from the Scourge. I text the Browns to draft me, but they didn't.
Right. Right.
Very good.
A homeless guy in a text determined the Browns draft. There you go.
Good stuff. All right, we've got much more coming up for you. We want to get into Friday forecast. That's going to be coming up next. We're going to have Matt Fontana, our producer today, run us through those topics. And we still want to hear from you at 216-578-0850. Call us up. Tweet us at Browns_Daily. I like that one from the Scourge. We got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.